Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined as ever by Andy Holding to look ahead to the Irish card at Punchestown on Wednesday afternoon. Decent card as well. Good to see some favourites back, if you like. Some old favourites. And hopefully that there's at least a winner or two to be found. How are you, Mr. Holding?
A bit better. I think we're both struggling, aren't we, bud?
Yeah, is it man flu? Or are we genuinely ill?
It's the change, isn't it? It's that weather we had that sort of like led us into a full sense of security in September. Our bodies still thought it was summer when it should have been winter, and it literally went like a light switch, didn't it?
Yeah.
A week ago, and that cold weather's really got into our bones. And yeah, you're struggling with a cold. I'm struggling with throat and ear infection. So
lovely.
Between us, we make up a fantastic model.
I think to use a racing analogy. I think we're both perhaps still in our summer coats.
That's right, yeah. We're on the sidelines for a bit.
Yeah, maybe put us away till next year. That'd be quite nice. No, we've got a good card today, though, haven't we, at Punchestown?
We have, yeah. That 2:45 will beat us, only four runners. Has a bit of a touch of quality to it. And that beginner's chase, 4:25, sees the return of Umbo Martin, and he's chasing debut at the same time. Add on to that one or two nice enough races. Not a bad shout to the first Punchestown meeting of the season.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we'll dive headfirst into the action. We'll start with a 2:15, which is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. Lord Scoundrel heads the betting here for Gordon Elliott and Brian Cooper. Has been off the track for a while, had some solid form last year, was beginning to look frustrating, but did get his head in front on his last run. And I'd imagine this run will be a good indication of where he's going to go this year.
Yeah, that's right, Alex. Yeah, he was always a horse that I had a bit of a soft spot for last year. He was runner-up to a horse called Chan Col in a decent bumper in December at Navan, and I tipped him virtually on every occasion subsequently. He second to Grand Partner, then again the same spot behind Bala, and then he finally got his head in front, and he just rewards for many good runs when he beat Garland Dancer. And more importantly, one of Willie Mullins's, who was third that day, to justify favouritism, proving that he's not just a horse that we can't trust. And he looks as though that probably fences will be his game down the line. He's by presenting, and he covers quite a bit of ground, to coin a phrase. Gordon Elliott's horses are in reasonably good form. You'd like to think that he'd have this horse somewhere near full fitness on his first run. Up to now, his best form has been with cutting the ground, but being a Sunday presenting, he should handle good ground fine today. I don't think it'd be too bad. At Punchestown, there is rain forecast. I just think he's bluntly the best horse in this race. The ones who've been running recently, the likes of Miles Ahead, Red Robin, Zamara, Pack the Punch, etc., etc., they've all shown reasonable levels of form, but it is sort of that summer jumping form that doesn't really carry much weight behind it. So I think Gordon Elliott and team, despite Lord Scoundrel not possibly being fully tuned up, would be a little bit disappointed if he couldn't win this, and so would I.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the aforementioned 2:45, a hurdle over 2 miles. Four runners got to post here, Andy, but you couldn't really rule any of them out at the time of recording. The 4-5 market leader is Orgilgo Bay, a horse that I think I'm right in saying ran against Ruther Glen last year. Then we've got Shamarfoot for Willie Mullins, Art of Payroll for Desi Hughes, and Tagliatelle for Gordon Elliott. Four horses that are either in really good form now, or you can go back to their form of last year and say they've got a really good chance here.
Yeah, the best race on the card by quite a way, and For the money as well, you'd like to think there'd be a decent standard of field, and it hasn't let us down. And Ogo Garbay, as you mentioned, is a worthy favourite here on all known form, and he certainly comes here in excellent shape as well, having won the Lartigue Hurdle in pretty devastating fashion at the Listowel Festival, making all the running in the hands of Kevin Sexton. He bounded clear of a well-contested field, and already we've seen the form of that race work out particularly well. The fifth horse, Landau, came over to these shores the other day to Exeter and won by any amount in hand, and it was a reward for several recent good runs in the summer as well. He was run up behind Maxim Gorky in that competitive handicap at the Galway Festival. As you said, he locked swords with the mighty Rutherglen last year, and although he came out second best, he went on to run really well also in the Fred Winter in the first time headgear, and he looked like winning that day, albeit then he got run out of it on the run and finished third. So he does set a good, decent standard. Art of Payroll looks the obvious threat if he's fit enough off his layoff. The last time we saw him, he was beaten in a handicap at the Fairy House Festival. But the fact that Desi Hughes put him in the Grade 2 at Aintree behind Josie's Hill and several other good horses suggests that he thinks he's a decent animal for the future. I think probably he's going to be best served when he goes over fences next season, because he's quite a big son of Scirocco. But for now, Ogelgo Bay is very much the here and now horse. He's in great form. He's likely to lead, and it'll take a devil of a good horse to go past him.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 3:15. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Not a huge amount of hurdling form to go off here. Lone Star heads the market for Aidan O'Brien and Robbie Power. Of course, we don't see Aidan O'Brien with many hurdlers. When we do, people do tend to sit up and take notice. They can be overbet at times, but 9-4 seems a fair price here, Andy.
I'd have to disagree. I thought he was really disappointing on his hurdling debut down in Gowran. He was only mildly fancied that day. He went off a 7-1 poke. He showed a little bit, but he didn't show enough for me to steam in at 9-4 today. Bachelor's Walk, who was runner-up in that contest behind Bay Hill, Christy Roach's horse, ran the best of the four that reoppose here today. And experience-wise, he probably does set the standard as well, Bachelor's Walk. There is one horse in this race who would be absolutely totally different gear to this lot, and he's the automatic selection. Just need to know whether he can jump or not. Hopefully Ross O'Sullivan has done plenty of schooling with a horse called Di Bando, who comes here definitely the best rated horse of these on the flat, and quite rightly so as well. That run when he was third behind a Greater Force down in Roscommon last time out was of a very good standard. I like the way this horse went all the way to the line as well that day. He looks an out-and-out stayer. That's the first time his connections have stepped him up in trip. And at this time of year, you often get a lot of weak finishes and frail horses, stamina-wise, in the latter stages of these juvenile hurdles. And Di Bando looks as though he's got stamina in abundance. Ross O'Sullivan, not many of you probably know him, but he's got a reasonable collection of horses in his midst. He's got a horse called He's Our Man, who's won recently, and a horse called Do Not Prince, which I've tipped on many occasions on the podcast this season to reasonable effect. So he comes from an inform yard. He's definitely got the best flat form in the race. He stays really well. And at 5-1, I rate Di Bando one of the best bets on the card.
OK, very interesting. Next up is the 3:50. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. It's All an Act is your market leader here at 11-4 at the time of recording. Then Manuka next in at 7-2, unexposed for the Tony Martin yard. High Net Worth in at 4-1, 8-1 or bigger the rest. Where should we start with this one, Andy?
We'll start with the favourite. It's All an Act. Shark Handler's got a good tune out of this six-year-old in recent times. Winner of two of his last four starts. Placed in the other two. But although he's a bit of a tricky customer, he has to be led in at the start. He can be a bit of a boyo down at the start, and he often has to be cajoled into lining up. Once he's actually underway, he's fairly reliable. He likes good ground. The ground was probably a bit too soft for him two starts ago at Tremor. If you like, that was probably the worst of his recent runs. But bookending that was a victory at Sligo, and the ground was quickened. The Fairy has little as last Saturday, when also the ground was on the good side. He's going to get his ground again today, and he's probably the one to beat. He's usually a prominent racer as well. But the one I like here is Manuka. Also, it used to be with Johnny Murtagh on the flat. He's only had a few runs for Tony Martin, and he's just getting used to this horse. But interestingly, on his handicap debut, he was well punted the other day down in Navan in a race that was run at a strong gallop. Dashing Lady won the race, but Manuka was doing some nice work late on, and already that form of that race is beginning to work out quite well. So time-wise, Manuka has got a little bit in hand over these, according to my speed figures, and now he's dropping back down in trip. That could make all the difference. So Manuka, round about the 4-1 mark, gets the vote in the 450.
Okay, next up is the 425. It's a beginner's chase over 2.5 miles. We touched earlier on Beau Martin making his chasing debut today. 4-5 at the time of recording. Sizing Solution and The Job Is Right appear to be the only two feasible dangers. Sizing Solution has been consistent in lesser races so far this season, and The Job Is Right needs to bounce back after a disappointing end to last year.
He did, yeah. Something went wrong with the Job Is Right. There was quite a few bumps in the road towards the back end off what, at the start of it, was quite a promising-looking season. He was a winner of a Grade 3 at Cork midway through the year in December. Not sure what to make of him, really. Only connections can probably tell you. So, therefore, I'll probably concentrate on the other two. Undeniably, Beau Martin is the best horse in this field. He's got a rating of 138 over hurdles. And at his best, he's probably a little bit better than that. He goes really well at this track as well. His form figures read 2.2, 6.1.2. His only time he was out the frame is when he was sixth in the in that very competitive handicap at the festival 2 years ago behind the Paparazzi Kid. But other than that, he's got an exemplary record around this venue. And many of his races last year over hurdles were in graded company, the likes of Zaid Poor, Dungweave, Thousand Stars, Get Me Out of Here. He's all chased those kind of animals in defeat in the last two or three starts. And this looks a fairly weakish affair to make his beginner's chase debut. If he jumps a clear round, I think he'll win. Probably at the main expense of Sizing Solution, who was given a, for once, quite a modest ride the other day by Johnny Burke. I thought Johnny was a little bit sleepy on Jim Draper's six-year-old. He didn't make much use of him. He was ridden too passively for my liking. Prior to that, he'd run well behind Hurricane Ridge at Killarney. So a more forceful ride from Sizing Solution, with his experience under his belt, could at least give the other two plenty to think about. But you'd have to go with Beau Martin, and hope a clear round is sufficient for victory.
OK, so Beau Martin to win on chasing debut for Andy then in the 4.25. Next up is the 5 o'clock coming up from Punchestown. It is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Elegant Statesman heads the market at 9-4 at the time of recording. Old Supporter in at 3-1. Love Rory at 7-2. Close Review 11-2, 15-2 for Blue Cannon, and 8 or bigger the rest. They go without number 7 here. And a pretty open race this, Andy. A lot of horses that have got really consistent form, but sometimes just struggle to get their head in front.
Yeah, I think that's a fair review. Shame we've lost a runner already, the Lady Granuelle, which means we're down to 7, which rather ruins this the shape of this race. I'd like really to put up something each way, really. But probably have to go win only. Elegant Statesman's been a bit of an enigma on his last 4 or 5 starts ever since he's gone chasing. He hasn't really pieced it all together. He was a very promising horse in his early days, and he certainly had the size and scope of a chaser, but things haven't quite worked out for Henry and de Bromhead's Charge. Maybe the first time cheek pieces might just spark him into life, because he's certainly got all the ability there. I'll probably go with Love Rory here from the Ender Boulder camp. A horse has got a really good record here at Punchestown, mainly over the banks, of course. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was using this race with a view to getting him somewhere close to peak fitness for the Paddy Power meeting, which comes, of course, up in another month's time at Cheltenham. He's already had a decent couple of runs around Cheltenham in those banks races. So, yeah, bear that in mind. But his form over fences anyway isn't too bad. That second behind You're Busy, subsequent winner of a very big chase down at the Listowel Festival, you know, that would probably be the pick of the form. It's just whether, obviously, he's fit after a bit of a long layoff. So Elegant Statesman is the one I'd be most fearful of if the cheek pieces work, but the solid, consistent horse around the track is definitely Lavori.
OK, fair enough. The final race then coming up at 5.30 from Punchestown is a bumper, a mare's flat race over 2 miles. There's no Mullins Charge here. There's no Mead Charge. It's one of those races where, as well as there's no sort of really high-profile connections, we're left a little bit in the dark on a few of these, and the ones that have run have shown bits and pieces of modest form. It's not the best race that you'll ever see, Andy.
No, this is quite a weak mares race. As you pointed out, it's quite a surprise to see none of the real big connections with a representative here, particularly William Mullins or Noel Mead. That might well leave the door wide open for Gordon Elliott's charge down the bottom of the back road. We'll obviously have to keep on our eye on the market for that filly by Bark, who's related to several winning hurdlers and chasers. But obviously there's a little bit of element of guesswork in finding out how well that horse will go. Of the two that have had a run so far, the best form is definitely held by Bon Chic and Lady in Motion. Now, Lady in Motion is a horse I've gone with before. I tipped her last time out at Galway each way, thinking that she only had to turn up and run a race to finish in the frame. Unfortunately, she managed to do that and finish fourth, typical. But the standard of that race wasn't too bad. Bahana, who won that race, chased down by William Mullins' horse the time before. And hopefully the blinkers which are on for the first time might just induce that a little bit more out of this horse, just to, you know, get it over the line in front. Certainly got probably the pick of the form anyway going into this race. So having gone through her before, at least I know what pretty much to expect from that Lady in Motion. So let's go with her again.
Okay, Lady in Motion then in the lucky last for Andy. Thanks very much, Andy. Best luck with all those picks at Punchestown, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.